I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things.
Spooky things.
But most of all, we like self-care. For yourself.
For yourself.
Ooh, jivey, I like it. So what did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care, I hung out with my mom. We took some yoga classes together.
Where'd you go?
I went to Core Power, went to the Highlands Ranch studio, so that's a little bit closer to her.
I'm trying to think of where the Highlands Ranch studio
is. It's like in the town center.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it new?
No.
I don't go to Highlands Ranch very often.
Well, yeah, it's just over there,
I guess the town center, but that's fun. That's a good time.
Yeah, it's fun to hang out with my mom. What did you do?
This week, I did some organizing. We have this bookshelf and it is a clusterfuck. It's just stuff everywhere.
Like so, knick-knacky stuff or like what's it or just books?
There's tools that just, I'm like, why are there tools
on a bookshelf?
I don't know. So
they're just a place to set it.
So I put them in the canvas bags, like on our entertainment center. I'm like, this doesn't need to go here. And then I don't know. It looks a lot better.
That's good.
And I organize, some of my clothes drawers. There's so much stuff I need to get rid of.
Yeah.
It's, I haven't gotten through those drawers in, 5 years. I'm like, oh, none of this I wear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, haven't missed it in 5 years.
I love getting rid of shit.
It
makes me feel good.
Well, it hasn't been 5 years because we moved, but it was one of those things, I threw it in one drawer and put it in another one. And I haven't,
worn it.
Yeah. So, bye.
Yeah. Get rid of it. Someone else will use it.
Yeah. Why not? But what are you going to be telling me about this week?
So this week I'm going to be telling you about the Alaska mail bomb murders. I'd never heard of it. And this has layers.
Is it with Ted Kaczynski?
No.
Okay.
So I watched this.
Oh, that was Montana. Sorry.
Thing on, I think it was Peacock.
Okay.
It's this series called Killer Siblings. So I watched season one, episode one, and I was like, oh my god, this is nuts. So
that's one day you're gonna be on it. Killer Siblings.
Killer Siblings.
That's really specific.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So and then I also used a couple articles too. So
well, yeah, sometimes you need extra additional information. Yeah.
So we are in Chugiak, Alaska.
Which is a
rural town 15 miles outside of Anchorage, and it's September 17th, 1991. 44-year-old David Kerr opened a package that was addressed to his 19-year-old son, George Kerr.
Hey, sir, do not open mail for other people.
And it exploded.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
Right.
But I'm glad he did. I'm sure he's glad he did that for his son.
Right.
So.
Right. Neighbors heard the explosion and said it sounded like an earthquake. A few even witnessed seeing smoke billowing out the windows. This was a big explosion.
Okay, so it killed him.
Yeah.
I was also wondering, did he just lose fingers?
Nope. Unfortunately, David was killed almost immediately from the impact of all the everything exploding.
That's so scary.
Yeah. The fire department was called right away. There's debris everywhere.
Windows are blown out.
Yeah. It's the house is messed up. His wife, 34-year-old Michelle Kerr, who was also in the home, she survived. So she was actually still conscious as the fire rescuers entered the home, and she was able to call them over and be like, I'm over here. Like, come help me, please.
My God.
She was severely injured. She had like scraps of wood, metal, like all over her body, like lodged in her. She even had like a chunk of a door stuck in her torso.
What the fuck? Yeah,
like this was not a small little like, boop. It was like a full.
She was probably in shock explosion. Too, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. So she was rushed to the hospital. She miraculously survived. And not only did she survive, but she was able to tell the firemen what happened. Because they're like, what the fuck?
Did she make like a full recovery? Or did mm-hmm. she deal with like disabilities?
I don't believe she dealt with any disabilities. That's amazing. But she
That's great.
Was so lucky to even survive that.
Yeah, especially if like chunks of...
Of debris are
like if they went in the wrong spot, like her heart. Right,
yeah. Like, it would be over.
Yeah.
So she told them that they had received a package earlier that day. It was addressed to George, their son, and it was from the state of Alaska. So that's why the dad opened it, because he was like, this must be important. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense yeah. a little bit, because I'm like,
it didn't seem like a sketch package at all. It was like, oh, like we should probably open this.
Did their son not live with them?
At this point, he did not, because he had enrolled in the Navy. So
okay. Well, now I feel like a dick for saying
that. No, you're fine. Like, so... I think it was the Navy. I need to look at it. I talk about it further on.
Yeah.
He was not living there at that point.
Okay. So that makes sense that he would open it, because he's like, he's gone. Yeah. Like, and if this is maybe important.
It's like military things or something. Like, yeah. Who knows?
We need to make sure it gets to the right people. Yeah. Okay. So that's 100%.
That's why David opened it. Yeah. And Michelle was like, Doug did it. So we'll get into who Doug is. But remember, she's like, Doug did it. And they're like, okay, now we need to look into fucking Doug.
Okay, I want to be like, who's Doug and why did he do it?
Exactly.
Why is she so sure?
Exactly. And it will all become very clear
I'm sure.
why Doug did this.
Answer it right now. Skip to the
I'm
end.
Getting there. So let's back up to the summer of 1990.
Okay.
So George Kerr.
And this happened in 1991?
Yes.
September
1991.
Okay, so we're going back a little more than a year?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
So we're going back. George was like a pretty good kid. Like he got good grades, whatever. Until he started hanging out with local bad boys, Douglas Gustafson.
It's always the local bad boys that'll get you.
Gustafson. Sorry. And his friend Raymond Cheely, a.k.a. R.D. So R.D. had a reputation around town for being kind of like a party boy. He was really wild. He was really social, but he was also kind of like a
troubled child.
He like if you hung out with him, you were probably gonna get into some trouble. And Doug was known around town as an awkward weirdo.
Same.
Some kids called him the lizard, which is like so mean.
Did he look like a lizard?
I could see why they did.
Okay. Because I'm like, either you're a lizard because like you skitter picture. And you're creepy, yeah. or you look like him.
He kind of, this is going to sound so mean, he kind of looked like Randall from Monsters, Inc.
Okay, so kind of like Steve Buscemi?
A little.
Oh, yeah. I love Steve Buscemi, though. He can be...
So anyways, Doug wasn't super popular. People were kind of like, oh, he's not our favorite.
So Doug was like part of that group, though.
Yeah. So okay. Doug and RD had become friends because they loved guns. And so RD would bring Doug around like the usual friend crew. And they were always like, Doug's a creep. Like all he talks about is guns and explosives. And he literally would tell people that his goal in life was to become an assassin. Like... Take it down like 10
okay,
notches, Doug.
Okay, here's my question. Why the fuck did they want to be friends with him? Does that become clear? Or
I
are you also like, what?
Because RD also liked guns and explosives, so they would like make little homemade bombs and like go to the creek and like blow up salmon.
That's not so super duper creepy. That's not like the right. terror. Like
it's not fucking...
I'm totally not like, oh my God.
Yeah, like yeah. that's a huge red flag.
That's
like,
terrifying.
If that's what you're doing in your spare time, like...
Get a hobby.
Maybe get a better
like
hobby.
Like a good hobby.
Like a not violent hobby.
Like me, basket weaving.
Yeah.
You could make crochet.
You could crochet. You could bedazzle things.
You could do pot holders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So anyways, Doug was kind of a weirdo.
Ask also, us if you want hobbies.
He's kind of a weirdo because, like, his home life isn't the best. So his parents were pretty absent. He was the youngest sibling of three. His older sister, Peggy, she's, like, 9 years older than him. She was, like, basically his mom because his parents were just, like, never there. So she took on mom role. And then, so they were, like, really close. Craig, he was the middle child. He just, like, wasn't as close to Peggy and Doug. So he was kind of, like, the loner of the family. And he just kind of,
the black,
like,
sheep, if you will.
He just sort of did his own thing.
Okay.
So after high school, the trio of friends, George, RD, and Doug, they, like, literally had no future plans. They were just like, cool, we graduated.
Sounds like one of them. I guess we'll just
fucking hang out in this small town and, like, vandalize shit. So they just started, like,
they sound like fun.
Yeah. They just started, like, causing mischief all around town. They started getting into some petty crimes, and they would hang out at this place called JD's Barbecue Pit. So George worked there, so that's why they would all kind of, like, hang out.
Okay,
there.
I'm like, what prompted them?
Yeah,
to...
so it's like he's working, and then his friends would come and just, like, you know, eat some barbecue while he worked and whatever. And that spot was kind of,
but they,
like,
didn't pay for it.
It was frequented by bikers, like Hell's Angels.
So this
bikers.
Wasn't like a savory place to begin with.
Some of the people who frequented there were not savory. I think JD's was fine, but, like, there were some rougher crowds that would pass through.
Okay.
And so the boys were like, oh my god, those kids are so cool. I want to be like a Hell's Angel. Like, I want to be like a bad boy, you know? So they're getting, like, influenced.
Yeah, I bet.
And sounds they're like already it. Kind of, like, not the best, like, citizens of this town. And then they're kind of like, we should be bad dudes, you know? So...
you're like,
it's not going well.
Down.
So they start vandalizing, burglarizing. They're just doing, like, stupid, reckless, illegal shit to keep themselves entertained.
Of course.
And on October 18th, 1990, they decided to rob Mike's Meat, which is a local business. They stole an entire safe that contained $20,000. So $20,000... in
I was gonna
the
say
90s.
In like early 90s.
Do you want to guess how much it is today?
Okay, early 90s, I'm gonna say 40.
Oh, you're so close. 49. It's about 49,000 today.
Damn.
Good
okay
job. So with that money, they're all like, hey, let's buy some guns, you know. First things first, guns. And they're not just buying, like, little handguns. They bought an AR-15, a semi-automatic Uzi, and an HK-91, which is a sniper rifle. So, like, they're big guns that shouldn't just be, like, around.
That's gross that they were able to
children
get all that.
Whose frontal lobes are not fully developed. So after making the purchases, they're like, well, we gotta go fucking use them. So they find a gravel pit.
Oh my god.
And they just, like, are shooting them off, and it's like, oh my god, the anxiety that would give me. Like, are you fucking
kidding
me?
Could you imagine hearing that?
It would be terrifying.
Yeah.
So they're just having their own kind of fun, I guess. Highly illegal fun. And after they're done shooting their new guns, they decided they should go spend some more of their stolen money and go party in Anchorage.
Please tell me they get caught.
So they hop in Artie's car. Doug is riding shotgun. Is the pun intended? I don't know. Maybe. And George is in the back seat. So fucking Doug is shooting the sniper rifle out of the passenger window at signs as they are driving down the highway.
Okay. Here's the thing, too. Because they're idiots. So I'm like, fucking do it.
No, mega idiots.
Ricochet, baby.
Dude.
Ricochet. Yeah.
So
it's not just a fun phrase in that song.
And, like,
by
these
Sia.
Are not toys. Like,
no,
these are, like, legit.
Get a BB gun or a pellet gun if you want to play target practice. That's fine.
But, like, what are you doing?
You'll just shoot your eye out, kid.
Seriously. So at one point during their journey, a red sports car zoomed past them and then, like, got in front of them. And RD's like, oh my god, this guy cut me off.
No.
And Doug is like, let's teach him a lesson. So RD speeds up to the car. Doug takes aim at the rear view window.
Oh, he shows the fires. Gun. The rear view window?
He fucking fires this gun at the rear view window.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And it's just like, who does this shit? Like,
how scary would that be for the driver in the red car? I know. You're like, I'm just, because like, I think, I truly think this, I think some people do, but I don't think everyone intends to cut people off. And sometimes no. I'm sure you do and you don't even realize it. Sure. And everyone don't come at me. I'm sure people have done it and not like, known there's it.
There's literally no reason but, like, for road rage and to then like shoot a gun at a car.
Like, are you out of
a sniper rifle?
You're so dumb.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So anyways, Doug is like, God. Oh, well, I missed. And they keep driving on their way to Anchorage. God, they're all just missed. Like, no big deal, whatever. That car like pulled off the highway, so they're like, oh, I guess we just scared him. But Doug did not miss. This hugely irresponsible move resulted in the passenger of the red car, Jeffrey Kane, being shot in the back of the head and instantly killed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So the driver, like I said, they pulled off the highway and he looks over at his friend and realized he was dead. Like, I just can't even imagine, like, you hear the sound, right? You're on the highway. You're freaked out. You're like, oh my God, what was
imagine
that?
Imagine, like, you and me are pulling going to dinner aside, or something, and then next you thing you know. You look
over to be like, wasn't that crazy? And your friend is dead.
Like, that's
just so horrible.
So fucked.
And it was heartbreaking listening to his parents talk about him. Like, his mom was saying, as he was ready to, like, getting ready to go out that night, she was like, oh, do you need any money or whatever? And he's like, no, I'm good. Like, it's fine.
How old was he?
He was, like, the same age as them. So he's, like, early 20s, I believe.
Oh.
And so, like, 19, 20.
I don't know why in my brain I was thinking this was, like, an older man. No, I don't know why.
He's, like, a young man.
That's so
like,
sad.
They went to high school.
Not that him. Anyone way would be even yeah. more sadder.
But it is horrible. That's awful. So, but he, like, his mom was talking about how, like, oh, do you need money? He's like, no, whatever. And he was like, Mom, I really love you, before he left.
Oh my God, heartbreaking.
Which was like, I just started like crying because I was like, that is so sad. And I'm so glad that she got to, like, those were the last words that she gets to remember. You know?
It's not like, I hate you.
It's not like, anyways, I'm gonna, I'll see you later. Like, it's like, he took a moment to really be like, hey, Mom, like, I really love you.
Like, that's so sweet.
So sweet. So this horrible accident, I don't know if I would call it an accident, this horrible event. Incident.
Yeah.
Is just, it's so incredibly sad and affects so many families.
Oh, 100%.
So meanwhile, the trio of boys is like, they're arriving in Anchorage. They don't think anything has happened. Like, they all believe that Doug missed. So they get a motel, they buy some booze, and then they invited some ladies over to come party with them.
Why are girls hanging out with them?
I don't know.
And I hear that and I'm like, those poor women.
Right?
What are they doing?
They try to like listen to them talk about their guns all night.
Yeah.
So the next day. Talk about
that one time they got drunk, because that's what guys do when they get together. They're like, remember when we got hammered that one? Remember
that time? So the next day, they go back to Chugiak, and it is all over the news. The town is buzzing that Jeffrey Kane was shot dead in what seemed to be a random act of violence. Like, police have nothing to go off of. They have no leads. They're just kind of like hoping that if anyone saw anything, if anyone knew anything, hopefully they'll come forward, because they don't have any evidence leading to anyone.
No, nothing.
And so when they realize this, they're like, oh shit, that was us. Doug pulled the trigger. Doug killed this kid.
Like,
we thought we missed, but we did not miss.
Oh, so there are consequences for actions. Right. That's so insane. Like,
what the fuck did you think was going to happen when you shot a gun at a car?
Idiot, yeah.
Fucking, like, wow. The audacity to be like, oh, we didn't think that anything would happen. You're stupid.
That's a gun. This isn't like a video game.
Yeah.
Do that in a video game.
This is real life.
By all means. In fact, I encourage you.
Yeah.
But no.
So they're freaking out. George immediately is kind of like, guys, we need to turn ourselves in. But RD and Doug are like, please tell me one of them. Yeah. They're like, we're not doing that. There's no fucking way. So they spent all day like trying to get rid of like any evidence that would lead back to them. They got rid of the guns and they were just like, yeah, no, we're taking a vow of silence. No one say anything. And this just didn't really sit well with George. And George was like,
so now he has a conscience.
George was like, this is a serious deal. Someone died. Like, this is not just like, ooh, we like vandalized something. Like, this is like someone lost their life. And so he went to his boss, and his boss is actually like a really close friend and kind of like a mentor to him. Mm-hmm. So he goes to him and he's like, hey, this is what happened. I want to go to the police. What do you think I should do? And his friend is just like, yeah, you should definitely go to the police. Yeah. You need to tell the truth. Like, this is a serious matter.
There's a family reeling. Like, yeah. Guys, when you don't come forward with that kind of stuff, there's a family
that wants answers and
that needs and wants answers. Yeah. And like, these are actual people.
Yeah, like you're affecting people's lives. So
he didn't just get injured, which would suck.
Yeah.
But
still, he's like, dead. He's dead. In a matter of a second.
Because of your stupid actions.
Stupid decisions.
And if you didn't do that, he would still be around. Right. So
George went to the police. He told them everything. And he, like, there's, like, video of him in the, interrogation room or whatever. And he's like, you know, I usually wouldn't, like, snitch out my friends. He's like, but this is really serious. So he understood the gravity of it and was like, we can't just, like, pretend like this didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of like, all right, well,
because then the cops have to wonder if there's like a serial killer out there too.
Sure.
So just, like, beyond the circumstances with the family, it's like, there's
like, who is doing this?
Yes.
So, since George had come to the police with the story, they were like, okay, well, you know, we need this to be corroborated. Cause you could just like, maybe you're trying to come forth first. And maybe you pulled the trigger and, like, they didn't. You know, like, we have to kind of verify and investigate in a follow-up of, like, is this the truth? So, George would be an accessory to murder if he hadn't come to them. So, they were willing to not charge him if he helped to, like, get his friends to talk about what happened.
So, he got immunity.
Yeah. So, police mic'd George up. And they had him talk to his friends about the murder in hopes that they would admit to the crime so that then they could arrest them.
So he didn't tell them he was going to the police to confess.
No, he just did it
okay,
on his own.
So he was so probably like, still think, sure he was like, guys, I'm so glad we didn't go forward about that man we murdered.
Well, with his conversation with Doug.
Say it to my chest.
He was kind of like, Doug, why, like, point blank, like, why did you kill that guy? And Doug replied, I didn't mean to. So that was enough of an admission for police to arrest Doug.
That right there is...
is like, you did it.
Yeah, you didn't have the intention, but you're an idiot.
Yeah. So then George goes to RD and he tries to get him to talk. And although RD wasn't as, like, cut and dry as Doug, they did still gather enough to be able to arrest him.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't like, oh...
He talked about the shooting, essentially.
Yeah, he talked about it enough to where it was like, okay, we can arrest you. So... RD and Doug were charged with murder. George was not charged anything since he came to the police and he cooperated fully.
Actually not common. Usually you would still get charged with just something. With something
but
lesser.
He got off scot-free. So Doug tried to maintain his innocence that he didn't mean to kill Jeffrey Kane, but like the fact of the matter is whether you meant to or not, you were reckless and pulled a trigger with a fucking sniper gun. Like, what did you... And you pointed it at a car.
Can I bring up something interesting? Why does the mom, his mom, his stepmom,
George's sister?
His sister, why is she like, Doug did it? That's where I'm wondering. Or the lady at the beginning who got blown up, she's like, Doug did it.
Oh, Michelle. So why, Michelle's mom.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm like, whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is she so sure it's Doug and not RD?
Because
you'll get into it. You'll get into it.
But she says in the recording when they're like, why do you think that Doug did it? She's like, because George put him in jail.
But like, why didn't she say or RD? That's what
I think. I don't know. I don't know why she didn't say RD, but she was very
specific. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's why I'm like, okay, Doug, makes sense, Doug. But like, yeah. Also RD was...
RD too. But she was also, like, keep in mind, this was literally, like, as she's in the hospital, like, okay. Getting worked on too.
Okay.
Because they kind of were like, is she going to survive?
Yeah.
You know? And so they kind of thought this, like, they had to get in there and ask questions and have her talk to them as much as they could in case she didn't survive. So she's like... Yeah. Not only in shock, she's lost her husband, but so she's like, maybe she's not thinking of RD in that moment too, but she knows.
Okay,
like,
that's what I'm wondering. I'm just
Doug,
like,
is for sure involved.
Doug did it. I'm like, sure, but there's also RD, so that's why I'm like, why did she just go with Doug and not RD? But,
sure.
Okay.
So George testified at both trials for Doug and RD.
Oh, so they were charged separately.
Yeah.
Okay.
And both men were found guilty and sentenced to 60 to 65 years in prison.
Goodbye.
So
make stupid decisions there.
Doug and RD are fucking pissed because their friends snitched on them in their mind.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he did, but
and he's free and now they're serving like basically the rest of their life in prison. And Peggy, Doug's older sister, who's, like, basically his mom, she's also pissed because she, like, really fully believes that Doug didn't do it. She,
not
like,
my Dougie.
She thinks that George did it and, like, framed Doug. And it's like, girl.
Why did he go forward then?
Yeah. Just whatever. So she is fully, like, George is the one that needs to be in jail. Doug is
so he's maybe innocent. Doug did it because he has a sister on the outside. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I'm still stuck on that
part. So in September of 1991, that's when the explosion happened. Like I said, George had joined the Navy and he left Alaska. So that's why David, his dad, opened the package addressed to him that was from the state of Alaska.
Did they know that he was in the armed forces of some sort? Like
who? His parents?
No, the guys who sent the package. Or
I don't
RD
know if they
Doug.
Knew at that point. I don't think that they did based on like, okay. Why would you send it to him if he's not even fucking there?
Well, fuck his family, you know? Like, well.
Yeah. So now we're back to the explosion investigation.
Yep.
Who would want to kill George? Obviously, Doug, RD, and Peggy would. So prisoners that were in the same like cell block as RD came forward after this explosion and the news of David dying. And they were like, yeah, RD had a fucking list of people he wanted to kill just like on a pad of paper in
his
cell.
Have you ever seen Billy Madison?
Like, that's so embarrassing. Like, come on.
Have you seen Billy Madison?
It's been so long.
Well, okay, so ironically, Steve Buscemi plays like a weird classmate.
Uh-huh.
And like Billy Madison starts getting bullied and he calls him and he's like, hey, I'm sorry I gave you a hard time in high school. And Steve Buscemi like gets off the phone and he like has a list of people I want
to
kill. And he crosses Billy Madison off. It's
oh my God.
And then he puts lipstick on.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, yeah. So
sorry, that's all I could think of when you said that. I'm like, now Steve Buscemi putting lipstick on is stuck in my head.
Right. No. So he has a literal list that is just like out in the open, like my kill list. And guess who was number one?
Well, I'm guessing George.
Yes. And the others were like judges and police that were involved in his trial. Like,
yeah, that's okay. Not how it works usually.
So RD and Doug would pass coded notes throughout the prison formulating a plan to deliver a bomb.
So
to
they
George
were kept at the same prison
for an amount of time they were, and then at one point they were separated.
Okay, because I'm like, usually they
but
try
they
to
would
separate
like
people.
Pass they weren't in like the same cell block, so they would do like pass this to this person and then this person pass to that person. Like they would use the other prisoners to like help
sure,
pass
yeah.
notes, you know?
I've watched Orange is the New Black.
Exactly. So the police are like, okay, so they definitely would have motive for this, but like how are they gonna...
They're in prison.
They're not even near each other. How are they like even able to make this kind of plan via notes, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How are you gonna execute it? And so they start digging. And of course, every phone call going in and out of the prison is recorded. And turns out Doug would call Peggy on one landline. Then he would then RD at the same time would call Peggy on the other landline. And what Peggy would do is she would have two phones She would flip them so it's earpiece to mouthpiece so that they could talk to each other. Yeah.
That's weird.
I know. And that's how they could actually, like, coordinate the details of their bomb plan. So it's all like...
I'm sorry. How did they not fucking figure this out?
I know. But it's, like, in a code, but it's, like, not even, like, a good code. Because they're like, oh, yeah, Peggy, you got to, like, fix your car. And, like, but when you turn this switch on, it detonates. And it's like, what?
Did you listen to these phone calls?
Yeah. It's, like, fucking ridiculous. And because it's, like, in the 90s, they had to, you know, manually listen to every recorded phone call. And Peggy called Doug, like, all the fucking time. And Doug called Peggy all the time because they were close, you know?
Yeah.
And so they had to listen to all their stupid fucking phone calls. And then they were like, oh, here it is. He's talking to her about fixing her car. And she can't figure it out because she's like, oh, yeah, I've, like, burned up all these different things. And I can't get it to work and blah, blah, blah. And Doug's like,
he's telling her how to make a bomb, right? And she's just making a bomb while she's on the phone with him.
Yeah. And she's, like, fucking it up. So...
He's like, change the oil to the right.
Right.
Three clicks.
So, and Doug knew how to make bombs just like, that was like his hobby. You know, that's what he did in high school.
None of this surprises me.
So he's like easily able to like talk her through how to do it, you know, and she doesn't have to like rent a book from the library on like how to make a bomb, you know, like, so...
It's well, this just, is before the internet where you could kind of, like, look into it.
And she was even like, well, should I, like, get a book because I'm having so much trouble? And he's like, no, Peggy, that why would you do that? Like, then they'll for sure fucking know. You know, like,
what is these wrong people with are
just,
you?
Like, not the smartest. Like, they're just not. So, anyways, Peggy had gone to Radio Shack. She had gathered all the materials, like, multiple
Radio
times.
Radio Shack. Wow, what an ancient
I know, right?
Sentence.
She's trying to, like, assemble this bomb. And Doug's just getting frustrated with her because he's like, dude, you keep fucking it up. Like, figure it out, Peggy. It's not hard. I've explained this to you like 15 times. And he's like, okay, get shit for brains to help you. And their code for shit for brains was their brother, Craig.
And well, they Craig could have just said Craig.
I know. But Craig was an auto mechanic. And so he knew how to, like, I don't know, assemble things. And, okay, here's the fucking gag. Craig is, like, over at Peggy's house. He's like, let me help you with this. Peggy's 9 months pregnant, fucking with a bomb, trying to, like, figure it out.
I'm already like, why is she fucking with a bomb? But,
girl,
like,
and you're pregnant. And she has other kids, too. So it's like...
You're putting everyone in danger.
Yeah. What are you doing? And so Craig is like, girl, like... Let me help you so you don't blow up you and the baby and your child. Like, come on. Ugh. And so police are like, okay, so now we know that Craig is also involved. So they're like, since Craig isn't, like, close with Peggy and Doug, like, he doesn't have that same kind of relationship.
Yeah.
They're going to go to him first and see if they can get some information from him. Like,
makes sense.
And... Craig was extremely disturbed that David Kerr had actually died from this bomb plan, and so he cooperated with police. He told them about his involvement with assembling the bomb for Peggy, and then he told them, like, and then the rest was her. Like, she went to the fucking post office and, like, mailed it,
yeah,
whatever. And she was very much involved in, like, gathering the materials, actually coordinating this, like, making the plan, you know, getting the information on how to assemble the bomb. So, oh my God, it was so funny. This author of the book, The Alaska Mail Bomb Conspiracy, his name is Burl Bearer. He said the funniest shit. They were, like, interviewing him because they're just, like, you know, establishing the story. And he's like, in one of the greatest lapses of judgment in human history, Peggy drives to the post office over a bumpy road with her daughter in the back seat and the bomb right next to her daughter.
What the fuck?
Right. Like, what are you doing? If that were to go off, it would kill
That's
your daughter.
Fucking
it would kill
embarrassing.
You. It would kill your unborn child.
Yeah.
Not to mention, she drops it off at the post office. What if, like, one of the mail carriers dropped it or something? You know, like, they're putting so many people's lives in danger in an attempt to quote unquote scare George into telling the truth. Like, what? So, again, she's not the smartest.
I'm being quiet because I'm just taking so much in. So, she just
packs it up, takes it to the post
office. Is it worth it?
No. That's like what I'm saying.
Could kill her daughter, which is her whole family. Hopefully the most important thing to her, you know, her children. So she risks her children's life.
Yeah.
To potentially, because who knows if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Kill this guy.
Yeah.
And also, like, not to mention, like, she's an amateur bomb maker. Like, I'm kind of impressed it waited until, like, it got to the house. She could have killed, like,
literally anyone in the
mail carriers.
Yeah.
She, like, innocent people.
So many people.
Why was that worth it?
Yeah. So, March 29th, 1992, Craig Gustafson skips town. And, because he's like, shit, I just told the police everything. Now they're going to arrest me, like, because I was involved. And so he was at large for a while. And they needed him to testify. Like, they needed him to be like, yeah, Peggy and Doug planned this and I like assembled it and then Peggy basically executed it. And they eventually found him. He was in LA. They found him like pretty quickly, April 18th. So he was gone for like a couple weeks. And they arrested him. Craig immediately decided to plead guilty. Peggy said that they didn't mean to kill David. They just wanted to scare George into telling the truth.
No, you didn't. You fucking asshole.
It's a bomb.
So now you're in jail? Was it worth it?
Yeah.
So now you're in jail.
Now you're in jail and your kids are without a mother. Like,
they're probably in a foster.
And then it's just so ridiculous. Like, what is wrong with these people? Like, you didn't think that a bomb would kill someone?
None of this made sense.
Yeah. So eventually she ended up cooperating and pleading guilty. Doug pleaded guilty in order to get Peggy some leniency in her sentencing. So Peggy got 28 years. Craig got 22. RD and Doug both got charged with conspiracy. Mailing of an explosive device is a federal crime.
They're 1,000% not getting out.
Yeah, they are life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Goodbye.
Survivor Michelle Kerr sued the Alaska Department of Corrections for negligence since RD and Doug were
That is so negligent.
Yeah, they were able to create a fucking bomb plan using the prison phones. Like, y'all weren't, like, noticing that they're, like, talking about detonators? Like, what the fuck? So she was awarded $11.8 million.
Good.
Which is like, that's a lot of money, but also that's not going to bring her husband back.
Yeah.
Like, that's so horrible.
So I'm saying, like, good, she didn't have to worry about money.
Yeah.
But terrible at the cost of what?
Yeah. The Kane family still keeps Jeffrey's room just like it was, and they miss him dearly. And that is the story of the Gustafson sibling murders, aka the Alaska mail bomb murders.
Oh my God. I've never heard that story.
Isn't that nuts?
It's insane.
Like,
it's upsetting. There's so much negligence on all sides.
It's so, like, wow. So many.
So
families.
Many innocent people had to die.
And so many people were put
in the way of danger, too.
Yeah. And it's just, like, them to just, like, not take any accountability and just be like, I didn't mean to. What do you mean you didn't mean to? It is a fucking
You have to purposely weapon. Make a bomb. There's not
And
a
you
whoopsie.
Have to pull a trigger in order for it to go off. Like, what? You didn't mean to? What did... I'm sorry, what? Yeah, so...
I have no fucking idea. That's insane to me.
Right? So, yeah. All three siblings. Jail.
Yeah, that's why you just, you know...
Maybe don't help your siblings kill people.
Yeah. Danae.
yeah, so we'll post pictures on Instagram at Mysterious Mavens Pod.
You can send us messages on our Gmail. We love hearing suggestions, too.
Yeah.
Suggestions pretty much get pushed up to the top of the pile.
Oh, for sure.
It's decided
who gets to cover it. Mm-hmm. We duke that out in the ring. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I don't think there's ever been a time where I'm like, nah, I'm going to do it. No. Anyways, but yeah, you can, our email is mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, hit us up.
We have Facebook. We have TikTok. We have the things.
We have the socials.
I would say we use Instagram
the most, though.
Yeah, like, Instagram for sure. Most? Yeah, so.
So, yeah. Until next time.
Yeah. Self-care yourself.
Okay. All right.
Bye.